all things NFL. Now here's your hosts, Root and Wine.
Hello and welcome to our post-Super Bowl episode, and Wooten is alive.
I made it back.
For a week and a half, I didn't know whether you were alive. I honestly did not.
No, I'm back from Middle Earth.
You uploaded a photo on Facebook about to jump off this bridge. I thought it might have been a subtle suicide note. Thankfully, it wasn't.
Nope.
But then I still didn't hear from you after a week, and I was like, uh-oh, what's happened?
Anyone that's been on a cruise knows that internet or Wi-Fi is, you know, hard to come by. It costs something around $30 an hour to use it on the ship. So I think I used it twice for very basic updates, check the email kind of thing.
So you used it twice. So that's $60. That's a meal at Ribs and Rops.
That is a meal at Ribs and Rops. Nice.
How was the trip? Tell us.
That was great. Speaking of the whole bungee jumping thing, so I jumped off Auckland Bridge, which, you know, for anyone that's done a huge bungee jump, it's a baby jump, but still, you know, baby steps for someone who hasn't done it before.
I will never bungee jump in my life.
Right.
I hate heights.
I'm walking, right? Have you walked the Harbour Bridge?
I did the Harbour Bridge thing. Yeah. I climbed to the top,
yeah,
and my hands were like silver. I looked like Iron Man because I was gripping the rail so hard.
This is baby compared to that, right?
And so it's like the one at Warwick Farm?
No, it's not. Yeah, so it's not that small, but you know, you start out with a group of people that you're going up with, and I went up with the mum, dad, my two brothers, and my girlfriend, all went up there, and, you know, one of my youngest brother, Zach, petrified of heights, just, you know, the worst thing, just goes all...
I feel Zach's pain.
All goes weak in the knees, right? So anyway, we're walking up, and I'm like, this isn't that high. And as I kept going and walking up gradually, it just got higher and higher. Then we got to halfway up the bridge, and I'm like, so this is it. And then I realized that there's like a ladder that we had to climb. So we climbed up there, and then that was where the drop was. And they're like, all right, first up, and they called my dad. And then...
Wait, so your dad bungee jumped?
My dad bungee jumped, right? Oh.
Damn.
I know. So then, anyway, Dad's pretty much as scared as my younger brother of heights. And, you know, they're like, okay, you've got to shuffle your feet towards the edge, right? Because, you know, your legs are bound.
Yes. Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. If not, they're not doing their jobs.
No, you're in trouble.
Yeah, no, anyway, so he didn't even look down. He just looked straight out and they go, keep going, keep going, keep going. And they're like, you know, 3, 2, 1, jump off. And
he just launched?
He swan dived out beautifully.
Oh, my God.
And then that was terrifying. So anyway, I did it. I looked at the water though. I wasn't that scared.
Did you touch the water?
No, I didn't. They said, do you want to touch the water? And I said, yeah, dunk me. But it didn't happen. It's just, you know, it just all goes on.
Low tide.
It all goes on that. But then when Weeksy, who we've mentioned on the podcast before, did it, dunked him like to the waist. He was so cold. Oh, like at the time I was like, damn it, I wanted to be dunked. Afterwards I was so glad I wasn't dunked.
Pulled out some fish in his hands.
Knowing him, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the Fly Emirates New Zealand Sydney to Hobart yacht actually went beneath the bridge and they like watched me jump.
That'd been pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Did the girlfriend jump?
No chance. Oh. She didn't even want to go.
I was
going to
be a bit embarrassed if you said yes, because I'm certainly not doing that. That was good.
But I was nervous, and as soon as I got up, I wanted to go again. But you know.
Well, we're glad you survived.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
It's off the bucket. Was it on the bucket list?
I'll say opportunity,
I guess.
Yeah, you know, you've got to do something. Every now and then.
You went to Hobbiton?
Oh, Hobbiton. Yeah.
Is that cool?
Hobbiton was cool.
I'm more jelly about that than jumping off a bridge.
That was pretty awesome. Yeah.
Bilbo Baggins' house.
I saw that. This is an interesting little bit, right? Anyone that's watched Lord of the Rings, there's a big oak tree that sits on top of Bilbo's house, right? And in the movies and stuff, that's just a fake tree. It's made out of, you know, foam and like it's got a steel frame and stuff in it, right? All the leaves on it are fake. There's like, I don't know exact number. I think it was like 600,000 leaves just on this thing, right?
That is crazy.
Yeah, and they were individually hand-painted, right? So anyway, the day before shooting, Peter Jackson, the director, turns up and goes, no, don't like the shade of green. And they had to paint them all before the next morning. What a...
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know.
Are you kidding me? Come on, you gotta be kidding me.
That's ridiculous.
It was insane. But yeah, I got a photo in front of Bilbo's house and that was good. I got to try Hobbit beer.
What was it like?
It was awesome. And they give it to you in like a little flower pot to drink out of. It was awesome.
Which looks big in their hands.
Yeah, it was a shot glass to us.
It's like on The Office when Michael Scott has a little shot of espresso and he's like, tiny cup or large hands.
That's exactly right. It was really good. There's so much detail in those little places.
Yeah. Well, while you were gone, I got up to a lot more exciting business. Yeah. I had my show, Super Bowl preview show with Scotty.
Who'd you pick, man?
I picked Seattle. I was close. It was 24-21 for a lot of that game. And I was close. So, but we both said that we thought it was going to be an epic game. It was going to be a thriller, and that's what we got. We're going to get to that later. And we got through the show despite my neighbor's best effort to mow my lawn. He actually mowed the strip next to my house.
Well, you know, there's got to be a compromise. Like, I mean, if he's making noise, you better do your lawn as well.
Yeah, well, I guess, look, I'm thankful for him for doing the lawn, but, you know, the noise, it just really bugged me. But what I'm really talking about is we started our GM draft this year, and last year we had 10 people on board.
Yeah.
This year we've upped the ante to half the size of the NFL, and we've got 16 teams in it. Yeah. So that it's going to be a lot harder, the teams aren't going to be as stacked, and we did it at random, and... we'll just go through it quickly.
Don't hate my team so far.
Yeah, we'll go through a little bits and pieces. But Justin Twell, who's been on the show, Bears fan, actually took Aaron Rodgers. Which, I don't know if that ripped out a bit of his soul, or what was left of his soul. Mm-hmm. I guess the Bears season probably took out a lot of his soul this year. But we've got a few good people on there. Matt Bungard, who's been on the show, and Eric, who's been on the show, are also involved. Laurie Horish, if you've seen him on Hard Count for Fox Sports. He's also involved, and then we got the same people from last year, Mono and ourselves.
Do you like your team?
I like my team. I went secondary early because it is a passing league, and I think if you can stop the pass, you're in a good chance. So I paired Richard Sherman with the Fear the Beard, Eric Weddle, and my quarterback, Matt Ryan, who I got in the third round. He's really excited to actually play with the secondary for the first time in his career.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. What about your team?
I picked up the tackling machine, Luke Kuechly, in round one.
There was an issue because you were in New Zealand when we started this, and we thought it might get to you before you got home.
Yeah.
And I said to Scott, if Kuechly's on the board, Josh will take him 100%.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, right. But luckily, bloody Eric took forever, and so did Laurie. It took a while, and eventually it got to you as you got home. And James is in it. He's in Hawaii at the moment on holiday. He's back today. That's probably why we're waiting. He might be on a flight. But you got home, and what do you know? You went with Kuechly.
Yeah, Kuechly the tackling machine. And then somehow Peyton Manning made it halfway around round two.
Yeah, I feel like people don't understand the concept of the draft a little bit because they're like, oh.
We're not building for the future here.
No, it's for 2015. Basically, every injury is put aside. So you have to presume Manning's torn quads are all better. Have to assume that whoever took Patrick Willis in the third, he's fine, back on IR. Everyone that's finished the season on IR is starting this GM draft, healthy and fine. Yeah, Manning's arm might not be as strong. That's a natural byproduct of his age, but he's still a top five quarterback in the league.
Actually, I've got a question for you.
Yep.
Can we draft Adrian Peterson?
I crossed him off, but you can. I just crossed him off for a moral.
Because I saw that and was like, oh, interesting. But then if James doesn't pick him, I'm telling you who I'm picking next.
You're going to pick Peterson? I'm
taking Adrian Peterson. Imagine that. Peyton, Demaryius Thomas, and Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, that's pretty good pairing.
There you go.
I've had my eyes on OBJ, but Glover took him.
Yeah, so. I mean, when did he take him? Four picks ago.
And so. I was eyeing Khalil Mack, and then someone jumped the gun on him and got him in the second round. I thought he'd slide back to me in the fourth. And I was going to build my defense, but now I don't know what defensive scheme I'm going with now. I'm still waiting. I've got my secondary, but it's if I'm playing 3-4 or 4-3, I do not know.
I think I'm going to play 3-4 again. I just like 3-4.
I like 3-4, but we'll see. It depends on who goes before me. If I can land an elite talent at one of the positions, I'll take it.
Yeah, it's just a difficult...
What do you think of Matt Stafford going before the likes of Cam Newton and Joe Flacco?
preference, I guess. I mean, you know, this is, they're building a team, so it's, you know, if you just say, if you ended up picking up Matt Stafford, right?
Hmm.
Actually, then again, I think they're all, I don't know, people are going to disagree, but they're not all too dissimilar, those players.
You're sort of getting a second tier quarterback. They're not the elite guys. And that's,
you'd say Flacco is a bit more, would you say Flacco is more accurate than Stafford?
Yeah.
Accurate?
Oh, I wouldn't. In the regular season, he's probably not as consistent. Because Flacco has some real pearlers, but Flacco, if I have, you know, 5 minutes left and I need a touchdown, I'm taking Flacco over Matt Stafford.
Yeah, no, I'd pick Newton as well.
Yeah,
but then you've got, you know, if, just say these people drafting, if they pick Stafford and then you've got, you give him four really tall, big weapons, I don't think, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he's Stafford got Dez Bryant on this team, so Laurie's team, so that's not too bad.
There you go.
But I'm happy with, I sort of settled for a second tier quarterback, but I think I got the top of that tier. I was tossing up between Romo and Ryan, and Tim took Romo one pick before me, and that made my decision a lot easier.
Yep.
I'm happy with Matt Ryan as my quarterback. All right, let's get to some NFL news. All right, we're going to smash you some news before we recap the Super Bowl. And then our weird web, we're going to finish with an extended weird web story just to lighten the mood for the end of the NFL season. And then we'll kick on to beyond. Dan Quinn announced as Atlanta's head coach.
Awesome.
Well, the news were waiting.
Yeah.
But what do you, yeah, you just said awesome.
Yeah, I like it. Yep. Love it.
I like it.
It's really good.
I'm excited by it because I think he is such a good talent evaluator as well. When you look at the players he built that defense with, a lot of them are late round picks, like Cam Chancellor in the fourth, Richard Sherman, Malcolm Smith.
I don't know too many actual Falcons fans, but that I you know, Falcons fans that do listen, gotta understand that it's not gonna be, you know, next season they're gonna have a defense that rivals the Seahawks. No. It's gonna be, I mean, Mike Smith, he's a defensive minded coach, and you know, look at that.
Yeah, just didn't have the cattle.
It's the talent on the team. They're gonna, you know, it's gonna be an overhaul.
Well, they've just put Dan Quinn in charge of personnel and player making decisions, and they moved Dimitroff to handle more of the cap because he's done a fantastic job when he managed that Julio deal and things like that, that cap wise. So I think that's good. I think Dan Quinn will build a good defensive. Like, they don't need an elite defense. When you've got someone like Matt Ryan, you just need a defense that can, I don't know, someone. Well, it's a mediocre defense. They're in the bottom five of the year. Like, they just need someone to play like the Cleveland Browns defense or something like that. They just need someone to just, you know, potentially be a top 10 defense, top 15 defense, and they have a chance.
Yeah.
Especially with Matt Ryan and Kyle Shanahan together, which I'm excited by that pairing.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Kyle Shanahan thing.
Yeah, he's won me over. I was like, I wasn't a big fan because I thought, oh, he was only hired because his dad was a coach in Washington. But I've done some research, and Matt Schaub had his best years at Houston when Kyle Shanahan was there. He made Brian Hoyer look.
What about this whole leaving Browns because of the Texgate thing?
Yeah, just get out of there. Get out of the sinking ship.
Do you reckon that was the sole reason behind it, or do you think? There's a lot of people being thrown under the bus right now.
Cleveland Browns is a hot topic at the moment, and that's our next dot point. Josh Gordon suspended for a year for alcohol abuse.
Should be more.
No.
Should be more.
More? Yeah. It's alcohol.
It's ridiculous.
I know. I understand that he has a zero substance policy at the moment because of his history.
Mm-hmm.
I just find it really confronting that he can get suspended for a year in the same week we see Rob Gronkowski chug a beer on television. I know it's two different players, two completely different set of circumstances. I just find it a little bit strange. I'm upset for Josh Gordon. He wrote his own article. I don't know if you've read it.
No.
It was a very lengthy piece having a go at a lot of media analysts that, like, I think Stephen A. Smith said, like, he needs to stop before he kills himself. Like, just completely hot, like, high temperature heat, hot takes. And he just basically said, you don't know me, you don't know what I've been through, you don't understand. Yes, I've let my teammates down, like, I'm really trying, things like that. I like Josh Gordon, and I just find it frustrating. If you're Cleveland, do you just cut ties, or what? It's not costing you a salary cap a year, you just hang on and wait. this has to be his last chance, I'd imagine.
I'd cut him. Well, I wouldn't hold on to
him. He's only 23 years old. If you cut him, then he takes the year off, comes back and wins a Super Bowl with New England in 2 years, you're going to be pissed.
Yeah, but I don't know. Do you want that? It's just such a negative influence on everything. And plus, he, you know, I know he didn't, you know, have the full season last year, but he didn't do very much
when
he
came back either. The quarterback play was pretty average. Speaking of quarterback play, Johnny Manziel checks into rehab. Johnny Rehab. If you're going to cut Josh Gordon, why don't you just cut Johnny Manziel, hey?
Why'd you do that?
Because he's crap.
Yeah.
Nah, I wouldn't cut Manziel. I just hope it's genuine and not a PR stunt.
I think it's both.
You think it's both?
Yeah, I think he realises that he's got to do something, but then I think it's also like, mate, if you do this, it's a
good step for you. It looks like, yeah. Look, I hope it's genuine. I hope he gets help. The murmurs are it's alcohol, but could be worse, but they're just not.
It'd be different if he came in and had immediate success and still lived like this, don't you think?
Do you think he wouldn't learn?
No, well, I mean, look how well Gronk plays, and you know Gronk parties like every weekend. He parties on television.
Yeah.
You know, so if he was, you know, having a huge negative effect, wasn't playing well, then, you know, he might be in the same situation.
Yeah, it's funny how much success can, or wins can sort of help hide tendencies and things like that. Like Gronk, you know, if the Patriots are 3-12 and is out chugging beers every week, it'd be a story about, you know, what's wrong with the Patriots.
Actually, to be fair, they were at the start of the year when they weren't playing well, he was still chugging beers.
But he was also injured too, so he wasn't performing on the field as well as he did the last 12 weeks and throughout the playoffs. The guy is just a machine. Texans coach Bill O'Brien says that he's going to have quarterback competition again next year. Who you got, Ryan Fitzpatrick or Mallett? Ryan Mallett? The Ryans?
Fitzpatrick's getting on. I don't know.
It's showtime.
For Mallett. I'll go with Mallett.
I'll take a wooden mallet.
A wooden mallet?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Von Miller expects Peyton Manning to return for one more year, which would help your GM draft.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I could easily see him retiring.
I could too. I hope not. I don't think losing to the Colts in such an ugly way is a way for someone like that to go.
Oh, what a way to lose, though, eh?
It is. Lose to Colts. It's very ironic, it's isn't just, it? It's
fuck, dude.
Man, he's a legend.
And in the same year that Brady
wins as well.
He smashes everything.
Yeah, I know. He needs to come back. Just to get it. Even if it's not a playoff glory, even if he can just finish a game, you know, at least throwing four touchdowns and then his defense misses a field goal, leaks a touchdown and his kicker misses a field goal like always. At least have a good game to finish your career. The Raiders announced Friday they've hired Seahawks linebacker coach Ken Norton Jr. to be their defensive coordinator. I don't know. The Raiders keep announcing these
weird
no-name guys, but you know what? I kind of like it. I kind of like it's under-the-radar type. Their offensive coordinator, who I completely forgotten his name. We talked about him last week. And now this guy.
We'll see.
Yeah. It can't be any worse than them hiring big names that sort of been out of the league for 2 years or something like that. And they're just sort of signing names. I think the arrow is pointing up.
Would have been good to see if what would have happened there if they would have gotten, say, Rex Ryan or something like that. That would have been interesting.
Rex Ryan would have been the perfect team for them. He would have made Khalil Mack like just
scary
good.
Scary,
yeah. And he matches the black hole, like the aggro-ness and the aggressiveness and their fan base and. I know.
Yeah, he just would have gotten a black sleeve.
Oh, he got his tattoo changed.
I know, I saw
that. His tattoo changed. All right, because the Super Bowl's finished, it's player arrest season. Yep. So as soon as the game's over, it seems like NFL players will think, well, let's go and get arrested. So we'll start with DeKearl Jackson punching a pizza delivery guy in the face.
Genius.
Yeah, yeah. Ice up, son. Ice up. Leave. Just please get out of my Colts. The 12 missed tackles on LeGarrette Blount in the AFC Championship game wasn't enough, and now he punched a hard-working pizza delivery guy. Get out of my team. Get out of my franchise. Latroy Guion. Guion? Guon? Guion? He got arrested for possession of, like,
a ridiculous
amount of pot. It's like it was on Pineapple Express.
I know.
And a gun.
And a gun.
And money. A lot of money.
Probably from more weed that he's sold.
Allegedly. Let's be careful.
Yeah. Someone just put it in his house. All that weed. New
York bozo! New York bozo! He's a bozo. Absolutely.
He's a New York bozo?
I think he was in New York.
No, that's just...
Terrence Cody. He's the biggest bozo. Animal cruelty. So he allegedly failed to provide an alligator. So he has a pet alligator.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking pet alligator. Nutritious food, necessary vet care, and proper space, shelter, and proper drink.
Cool.
Yeah.
What is satisfactory amount of food to give an alligator?
Human. One human a day. What do you feed an alligator? Ducks? I don't know. Chicken? Fish? I don't even know. We have more crocs here than alligators.
Crocs?
Crocodiles.
Both shoes and... Actually, you want to hear a story about that?
Yeah, okay.
The guy on the cruise that I was on, there was a... They have a karaoke where they call people up, you know, to sing. Yeah, everyone knows the deal with karaoke. But they had, like, a tournament. Some people were, you know, absolutely getting atrocious. Into it. Yeah. Some people think they are really, really good. I don't know if it's the acoustics in their showers that make them sound better.
I'm like that when I'm 8 beers deep at my Christmas party. I busted out some Rick Astley.
Nice.
And I thought I sounded good, and then my colleague sent me a video of it, which I've now deleted. It's awful.
No good?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, the guy that got up, he gets up and goes, they're like, what song are you going to sing? And he goes, oh, can't remember. Right, this is in the final in front of a couple of thousand people.
Can't remember.
Can't remember. It's a song I've never sung before. Okay, good start, right? And he's wearing Crocs, right? He's wearing Crocs with a suit jacket and denim shorts. You've got to understand what this guy looked like, right? And then he came out and sang a lot. Turn down for what? No, he didn't.
Oh, okay.
No, he sang, you're just too good to be true. With Crocs on. With Crocs on. So, I mean, yeah, that was a definite highlight of the trip.
Oh, gee whiz.
Yeah. Do you want to know something else really crazy?
I need a story time drop here.
Mate, I did the worm in front of 2,000 people.
Turn down for what? You did the worm.
Yeah. There was like a game show kind of night.
Yeah.
And I was elected team captain. And they said,
it's a bold strategy, Kyle.
It was the smartest strategy.
Did you win?
No, I come second. Oh, our team comes second. Out of 12, my team comes second. So it was pretty good. Yeah, I got a medal for it.
Do you think Seattle fans are saying that right now? No.
I didn't throw it in a
set. So you did the worm.
Yeah, no, I did the worm. Can you see this? I got a bruise on my chin because I went hard out.
See it underneath your disgusting attempt at a beard or a chin beard.
No, it's just because I need a new razor.
You look like a Mexican drug dealer.
What was the look? That's the look I was going for. Anyway, moving
fantastic.
On.
Awesome. So feed alligators humans.
Feed alligators.
And Joseph Randall, who could be the running back for Dallas next year because DeMarco Murray will probably get bought somewhere else. By someone else, sorry. He got arrested on unlawful possession of marijuana. So really seizing the running back position there.
Yeah, grabbing it with both hands.
Yeah. Oh. No, I don't have it.
No, that wasn't even a joke. That was, I was going to say, DeMarco Murray had a career year.
Yes.
But Dez is still more important.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
It's hard to explain this to people.
The fact that they ran DeMarco into the ground makes me think they're like, yep, we're going to get the most out of him this year.
Yeah.
And we'll just kick him to the
curb. It's hard to explain to people that finding an elite receiver is so much harder to find than
a running back. Look at the running backs in the league that have been like...
Look at how, you know, the Steelers were like, oh, sorry, LeGarrette, we don't need you. Then he turns into, you know, the...
Yeah. Wrecking ball.
Wrecking ball for the Pats.
He only plays good against the Colts, though. Coincidentally. But like players like Alfred Morris, fifth round pick, Zach Stacey, although he fizzled out, but you know, he had success. Vic Ballard had success in limited patches. Like, just, they're just off the top of my head, late round running backs. Mm-hmm. No one's, look, this running back class in the draft's loaded. I can't see one going in the first round this year.
You can't see a running back going in the first round?
I don't think so.
All right, here's a bold prediction already. One will go in the top 15.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Todd Gurley?
Or Melvin.
Or Melvin. I love Melvin, so that's fine, but I don't know.
I think Chargers are sitting at 14, 15.
Yeah. I don't know. They're happy with Ryan. When Ryan Matthews is healthy, he's a good running back.
When's that happen? 1 year.
One time. All right, a couple more bits of nuggets. RG3 left off Redskins.
Bits of nuggets?
Yeah. Little some nuggets. I don't know.
It's popcorn chicken.
Dip a stutter.
All right, popcorn chicken. By the way, I had crispy strips the other day at KFC for lunch. Just the crispy strips.
Yeah.
Nothing else. And I got that supercharged sauce. Have you had that from... Oh, man, it is.
Is it spicy or good?
I look around and I think we got
spicy.
Very spicy.
Yeah.
Okay. You hate spicy.
No, I'd love to like spicy. I can't handle it. That's how I feel about it.
There you go. Well, look, between us, you can bungee jump and I can eat spicy food. We're the ultimate duo.
Yeah.
Yeah, but RG3 left off Washington's list. They sent a letter to their season ticket holders and they mentioned core players in the team, like Ryan Kerrigan, Alfred Morris, Trent Williams. RG3 not listed on there. Should he be worried?
I don't think you should so be worried, but I think you should use this as motivation. Like, this is the kind of thing that you would use as motivation. I think it was right for them to leave him off, though. I don't think that was the wrong decision. I think that was 100% the right decision.
You think a lot of teams would put a quarterback on that letter, though, but there's concerns that he might not be the starter. It's hard because it's like...
The year he came in, he had the highest jersey sales. So it's like...
He also had a good year with Kyle Shanahan.
I don't know.
And then it's now like... I don't know what...
Where'd Shanahan go again?
Atlanta,
that's right. Maybe there. No, Matt Ryan's
doing Matt Ryan. I love Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Okay, Aaron Rodgers blames the Raymond James Stadium's turf for his calf injury. I'm going to ask you, what's the worst turf in like the NFL?
Oakland.
Oakland?
Oakland.
I think Washington's turf is terrible. It was where Adrian Peterson did his ACL and RG3 wrecked both his knees.
Fair enough. Maybe the actual turf on the Raiders field is actually good, but just only the field is half a turf.
Because of baseball stadium?
Yeah.
It is ugly.
It's just not nice to look at.
No. And our last bit of news is some little free agency sort of rumours going around that Ndamukong Suh wants to play for Seattle.
That'd be cool. Not going to happen.
They can't afford him, right?
Not going to happen.
Where do you think he will end up?
You know, until this came out, I just thought, he'll be re-signed, surely.
You think franchise tag?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know if he'll stay at Detroit. When he cried at his press conference, it made me think this is the last game he's played for Detroit.
Where would he go?
Oakland? They have a lot of cap space.
They have stacks of cap space, but then... You don't want to see the Raiders blow it.
No, but I don't think that... If you have Sutt in the middle and Khalil Mack on the outside...
They'll give him too much money.
Yeah, they will. But he's incredible.
What about incredible someone like Tennessee?
Oh, God. He has too much personality for Tennessee. They're so boring. They cut Michael Orr, by the way. The blind side got blindsided.
Yeah, that was actually, you know, from nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he played terrible.
Was he last?
He had a crap year.
Was he last?
In what?
Pro football?
Oh, he's pretty much. He was in our nominees for our anti-Pro Bowl.
Who won?
Oh, I won. Ryan Lindley.
Yeah, that was the only reason.
We got votes. Yeah, we got votes. It was close. It was like probably like 55 to 45 when I worked out the amount of votes and worked it out into percentage. I was going to write that down to remind you when you
came. I bet if we swapped and we just swapped running backs and quarterbacks, that'd be...
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But, you know, it was fun. It got a lot of talk. A lot of people were unhappy that some players were left off teams and not and put in teams. I got some heat over Greg Toler, and then I reminded, said gentleman that Greg Toler was terrible. And
he was...
And, you know, near the bottom in Pro Football Focus ratings, gave Toler away a lot of... Intolerable.
You're welcome.
Stay golden, pony boy.
All right, let's start. Let's get into the Super Bowl.
Can we play that again? deserved it.
Just run the ball. Run the ball in and you win. It's ridiculous. I still can't get over that play. I'm going to slam my pen. Run the ball in and you win. That play was, yes, it wasn't that bad of a play call because I've rewatched the footage. Malcolm Butler, he anticipated that ball before Russell even threw it,
yeah,
which is incredible.
I was sitting there watching it and I said, I said they should throw it here. You can ask.
Oh, really?
You can ask Weeksy.
Yeah.
Sit next to me. I said they should throw it here. And
I would have run it once. At least you had 38 seconds and a timeout. You run that ball.
What was the time when he threw it?
Yeah, about 35, 34 seconds. They had a timeout. Then you have third down and fourth down where you can throw it. Because you're on the one. You're not throwing it, you know, a screen pass or something. You're throwing it into the end zone. So you either catch it and it's a touchdown, you win, or it's intercepted, or it's, you know, hits the ground and the clock stops.
Yeah, no, but then Russell wasn't having that great success throwing it.
No, he wasn't. And that secondary was just suffocating player. So it wasn't for Chris Matthews making plays. That was his fourth option at times for Russell in the passing games.
You know what? If he threw it back shoulder, Seattle win. So yeah, I think it was the right call. Everything was good. Russell didn't make the throw. That's it.
Yeah, and it's... For me, it's
and that's not saying anything about Russell. It was a hard throw.
I just think you could at least run it once. Just run the ball once, give it a go, and then come back on third down with that play.
To be honest, I thought, okay, when I said they should throw it here, yeah, I didn't think they were going to throw it.
No.
I thought they were going to run it.
Yeah. Look.
But.
It wasn't a terrible call, but it wasn't the best call. That's what I said to you when you got back when we were talking. I think. You got Marshawn Lynch, the best running back in the NFL. Outstanding. Just carried guys for like 8 yards the play before. He was built for that moment. This is crazy.
It was 10 yards to the goal line, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then he went about 9 yards.
He pretty much ran 9 yards, had one to go. But then, all right, just say he gets stuffed again.
Yeah.
Got to use that.
Timeout.
Then, you know, your biggest weapon is Marshawn.
Yeah.
Man, it's tough.
It's tough. And it was well done by the Patriots and well done to Malcolm Butler. And he, Tom Brady gave him his Chevy and he deserved it, I think. Yeah. And Tom Brady doesn't need a Chevy. But it's crazy how much...
Did he just sell a $40 million?
Yeah. It's crazy how much unknown players or players that, like rookies and things like that making plays just change Super Bowl history.
Last year, the same thing.
Yeah. It's just crazy, like... If Malcolm Butler doesn't make that play, Seahawks win. Tom Brady played fantastic, win or lose. He played the exact same game, but that play had nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
If they had lost that game, we're talking about Brady hasn't won in 12 years now, hasn't won since Spygate, I do that in inverted commas. You know, he's now lost 3 Super Bowls. You know, is this the end for him? Now he's in the greatest of all time conversation, which I think he was already in that conversation anyway. But now it's sort of people saying, oh, now he's got 4... But, like, that play had nothing to do with him. And he played outstanding, but he still could have lost.
Yep.
It's crazy how much legacy is altered by field goals and six-round rookies making interception picks on the, yeah. It's crazy.
I like Curse's catch better than Beckham's.
That was incredible. And you must think, being a Patriots supporter, not again. We get beat by these freak throws. Manningham, Tyrell, now Curse.
All right, well, we'll talk about where we were watching it. Do you want to go first? You talk about your...
Yeah, you mentioned how you said... I said they should pass it here. Mm-hmm. It was funny. Before halftime, when there was 6 seconds left,
yeah,
we were in the brew house and it's packed. Sydney NFL supporters put on a really good bash.
Yep.
I stood up and I said, go for it. And everyone told me to sit down and shut up. I said, go for it. You got 6 seconds. You got time. And they scored a touchdown on that play. And I was right. I was proud that I actually, as a coach, would make that call. I think you got to make the ballsy calls.
Uh-huh.
And I guess that play worked in the first half. So I guess Pete Carroll said, I'll play it again in the second half. But it interrupted where we were at the brew house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially after that catch. I saw a couple of Patriot supporters were like head in hands, like nearly crying. And then it's nuts. I think upstairs it was, well, down the back, it was more Seattle-based, but then upstairs there was a lot of Aaron Dobson jersey-wearing Patriots supporters, and they were getting very rowdy.
Did you see the Dobson?
I saw three. No. One at the brew house, which is good. Only one. I told him to go off and jump in the harbour.
Yeah.
And then I saw two at just walking around Darling Harbour because I met up with Robin, who I rang after the game, congratulating him on the win. Yeah. He's a Patriot supporter. He was completely smashed, completely drunk. He was like, "Oh man, I respect you. I respect you for calling me that, bro. For calling me and congratulating me. Just respect it, bro." So then he was at like...
It sounds like Robin.
Yeah, he was at underneath the Hard Rock Cafe at some restaurant. And I went there and he was with a work friend. And he told me 7 times that his work friend supports Oakland.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, at least you know now.
Yeah. So we were just tearing into shreds about the tuck rule for an hour while he was drunk. Just poking holes in him. He spilled tate. So he was embarrassing.
He was just embarrassing.
But anyway, let's get back to your story.
Well, we're actually in port at Wellington on the day of the Super Bowl.
Oh, there you go.
I really thought we were going to be at sea, but it doesn't matter. We're at Wellington. Windy Wellington, and the name, you know, did it justice because it was, you know, windy, trees blowing, you know. Caught the cable car early in the morning, had to check out Wellington, except it was too windy to do anything. You couldn't go on any tours or anything. So I got back on the ship early enough, and the cruise liner that I was on, they've got a huge, you know, big screen on top of the boat that everyone can, you know, sit in the pools or deck chairs and watch. Anyway, they were putting the Super Bowl in there, right? Yeah. The volume blaring, by the way.
Was the weather nice? Was it hot?
What did I just say? Just said it was windy.
Yeah, no, but like, still be
warm. Yeah, right, no, it was...
have warm, dry winds.
No, it was... I don't know, it was just typical... It was just a typical overcast day.
Fair enough.
Right?
But then, sounds like Melbourne.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, we're all sitting up there, but then the wind just started to pick up. But they have, you know, plenty of bars on the boat. So we went down to the sports bar, which is called the Tavern. So we all sat there. Anyway, it's an American cruise liner, so there were stacks of Americans. By the way, I probably would have drank 2 cases of Bud Light the whole time I was on there. I just couldn't stop myself.
It's a good drop.
Drink responsibly.
Sponsorless now.
Just drink responsibly. Yeah, anyway, so then we're all down there, Americans, you know, all kinds of people. And then a huge, like, I reckon there's probably 3 families together of Seattle fans came in and went, like, why are you all sitting together? And then they kind of split the bar apart, and there was the same size television on both sides.
Nice.
And, you know, they were watching one television where all the Patriots fans or anyone supporting the Patriots were sitting on the other side, me included. And then we're all sitting there. And then, yeah, it just went off. So then they gave us all, you know, the typical American... hot dog, mustard, all that stuff.
Yeah, I had an American plate too.
It was great. I had
deep fried, get this right, and it's the best thing I've probably eaten this year.
Yeah.
And it was incredible. Mac and cheese balls.
Christ.
It sounds like a heart attack, honestly. I was like, what the hell are these? It looks like a giant dim sim, right? And it's deep fried, and I was like, all right, I just bit into it, and it's just creamy, delicious mac and cheese. And it was the best. It was so good.
That good?
It was so good. Oh, we're going to go back there and have a mac and cheese ball.
Yeah, no, but...
So the atmosphere was good.
It was actually good.
No civil war.
It was good speaking to Americans about the... about American football.
Did you tell them about the podcast?
Yeah, I dropped it to quite a few people. I was like, oh yeah, well, you live in Australia? Yeah, listen to this. Yeah. What, you don't listen?
Like, you don't listen to my podcast? What are you doing?
What are you doing in your spare time? It was actually funny because there was a man and his wife sitting in the Patriots section, but
they recognize you and they wanted your autograph.
I gave him my autograph anyway. Oh, no, yeah. I'm kidding. They,
it's showtime.
He was born in Oregon, so he was going for Seattle, yeah. Right? But his wife is a Pats fan. They're sitting together.
Divorce time.
So he's wearing a Russell Wilson jersey t-shirt thing.
Yeah.
Wearing an Oregon hat. So I was like, I don't know whether to like boo you for going for Seattle or shake your hand for going for Oregon. Oh, yeah. So I had a good conversation with him afterwards, and he actually went to the University of Oregon. So that was fair enough.
Oh, that's cool.
That was cool. So I started talking to him. Yeah. He was like, so Oregon losing the final and Seattle losing the final.
Oh, right. But did you just tell him that maybe Bailey Kenner might be punting there?
I
got excited.
He was kind of being dragged off by his wife and was like, let's get out of here, kids. Ah, blah, blah, blah.
Stupid yeah. wives.
All he wanted to do was
just cruising and smashing up things, just being a real pain.
All he wanted to do was just watch more highlights, but I mean...
Man, I could not. I haven't watched, like, I just... The game was so good when I watched it live, I don't want to watch any more replays because I just liked watching it live. I'll watch it again in a couple of weeks, but it's just been non-stop. I just wanted to get away with it and focus on the off-season.
I got home, watched the replay.
Did you?
The condensed one without the ads and stuff. Watched that, and on the boat, the amount of time times I watched SportsCenter.
Oh, it just kept going on. It was crazy how good that game was. And we said before we opened, you think it's the best Super Bowl you've ever seen?
That I've ever watched.
Oh. For me, I really loved the Pittsburgh-Arizona game.
It was good. We were going for Arizona that game, weren't we?
Yeah, we were, but it was just an incredible game. We were only going for them because of Ben Graham. Yep. But that was an incredible game.
I still remember Larry Fitzgerald making that ridiculous catch down the middle of the field.
And pick six with James Harrison before halftime. There's always plays like that in Super Bowls that you just... by play, like Chris Matthews, like it just it's so crazy. And it's so funny how like all these unsung heroes... yep. Dictate, like,
we were watching that at a maid's house, and do you remember I smashed a light bulb that day? Do you remember I smashed a light bulb?
Is that when you jumped up and put your hand in the air?
No, it was
your hand?
Yeah, it was my hand, and I, you know, celebrated, and I smashed a light bulb. Yeah. That's all right. Didn't cut myself. We're all good.
I am a product of pain and suffering!
That's pretty much how it happened.
Look, we... anything else about the game that we want to talk about before we mention some other things that have come out of the game itself?
I don't know. I just
that play is just what's going to be talked about for the rest.
It's going to be talked about, but man, I don't know.
But it was just an incredible game. Lynch, like, talking about legacy, look, now Tom Brady's got four rings, and seeing him with his son standing there with his on his shoulders, yep. That was beautiful, man. That was awesome. That was awesome.
Even, what's it called? Actually, that Oregon guy I was speaking to was like, just, you know, bow down to Brady. He just said, bow down to Brady.
And we've got to give credit to Julian Edelman, who I thought probably should have been MVP, as much as I hate Julian Edelman. The amount of stuff he did after the catch was incredible with those short. And it was a good game plan, and it worked perfectly into Brady and Edelman and Vereen. I think Shane Vereen had a very good game too.
Yeah, he did.
He converted a lot of third downs with some passes. From Brady, so it was a really good game plan. And Brady doesn't throw a deep ball like he used to anymore, and Belichick schemed to his strengths now. And that drive where they won the game, he got sacked early on, and it was second or third down and long. There was two players on that drive where their offensive line just made a perfect pocket, and Brady just stood up into that pocket and just launched some great throws back to back. It was good from them, and it was, you know, a whole team effort on that drive to win the game.
You know what? Talking about that pocket, that was barely a factor in the Super Bowl.
No. But I'm just in those specific plays where they converted two third downs on that drive where Brady stepped up into that pocket, and it was textbook. You watch those two plays again; they're probably the two best passing plays he had on the game. Look, and if Edelman probably caught that pass that eventually went to Amendola the next play after he missed it, he would have had two touchdowns, probably would have been MVP.
He, last 13 games, Seattle had only allowed 18 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
they let in 14 points in the last quarter of Brady.
And then, you know, looking on the other side, if Seattle ran the ball instead of throwing it, Marshawn Lynch runs it in, probably gets his second touchdown, probably gets MVP of the game, and it's probably going to Canton.
He completed 37? I think it was 37 out of 50 passes, right?
Yeah.
Brady completed 21 of 23 passes when he unloaded the ball within 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So quick
passing play.
And you know what? That was the way to actually beat them. I don't think that was so much a design.
And people laughed at when they got rid of Wes Welker, but they replaced it with two guys that performed Welker-like.
Yeah,
in Amendola and Edelman, and two of those guys cut them up. With those routes.
What was I going to say?
But like, I think Gronk, like, he didn't have that big a game. He had a Gronk game, but like, he doesn't need to have a big game. He creates that space for them.
Yeah,
and it flows. It's like a well-oiled machine.
Besides that, one pick by Bobby Wagner, I don't think he had it. Great game at all,
Bobby Wagner.
Yeah,
yeah. He was.
I think he allowed.
They had KJ Wright on Gronk a lot too, which was a bit weird.
Bobby Wagner, I think, allowed 4 out of 5 passes completed, and they were nearly all to Vereen slanting past him. Besides that one,
And, intercepted. You know, Tom had a terrific game, but that first throw to Jeremy Lane was actually kind of probably would have helped them in the end, because Lane then was out and they picked on Tharald Simon a lot.
Yep.
And that was an ugly break from Jeremy Lane on the arm. It was, that photo makes me sick. And, you know, but that was a terrible throw, but it probably worked out.
I don't know.
It's funny how it works out.
Just trying to do too much.
Yeah, and even if he overthrew it, there was no one behind him.
Yeah.
Katy Perry's halftime show. What'd you think of the giant futuristic cyborg lion?
I liked the lion. I thought the lion was cool. Yeah, I thought it was. Must have been tough for those. You see the guys in the black. This black suits trying to. They were the ones moving the actual lion. Did you see this?
No, I did not see them.
So, well, they did their job well then, if you didn't see them.
No.
No, I just thought they must
have. I didn't have much Wi-Fi down in the bottom part of the brew house.
Yeah.
And so I had to, at halftime, I sort of ducked upstairs and try to get some tweets off and check some text messages. But yeah, I didn't see much. But what I really liked about Katy Perry's halftime show was them damn sharkies. Those two little shark guys. The guy on the left shark was, like, drunk and just completely forgot his dance moves.
You know, there were probably women in there.
No, that was a guy. Because one of them's on Tinder, and he's like, I'm in the Super Bowl halftime show. And he's like, what? And he's like, I'm a shark. And she's like, what? And then she's like, then the guy was like, this is a Twitter convo that I read.
Yeah.
He's like, just watch, you'll see. And he was one of the sharks. Isn't that cool?
Yay! I just thought the show was the typical show.
Do you like the shark card that I sent you?
Oh, it was great. Okay. Let's not speak of my reply.
I'm trying to find it. There it is.
Yeah.
It's I think it's gonna be like the Simpsons. You know that Valentine's Day card that
choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-cho
shark, but I'm the right shark for you.
Nope. Horrible.
It's beautiful. It is beautiful. All right, so Katy Perry's halftime show really rubbed off on Buzz Rothfield. Did you read his Super Bowl wrap-up?
Bits of it. Bits of it.
It was horrible. It was terrible. It is the worst article I've ever read.
Ever read.
Ever read on by an Australian journalist on the NFL.
That is correct.
And it angered me so much that I produced an article yesterday for The Raw that took him to town, and the response has been good. The response has been pretty good.
Yeah.
Bars hasn't blocked me on Twitter yet, which I'm waiting for that day to come. But, you know, I've gotten a lot of good feedback from that one, and I thank you all for your comments on that one. And before we move on to our weird web story, let's get some... Right, who's your real MVP of the Super Bowl week?
Don't think I need to say it again.
You're going
to
give it to TB?
TB, good-looking pretty boy, Tom Brady.
He's got everything, hasn't he? Mate, how can you not be jealous of the man?
He deserves everything. Even, right, I even got my girlfriend so obsessed with Super Bowl week that she was like, every time they mentioned Tom Brady on television, she'd just go over and... You know, start looking at television like, oh, what's up with Tom?
What's up with Tommy boy? He is a very good looking man, and you know, good for him, and it's good to see his kids get involved in the Super Bowl week and the parade and all that. I think it's you know, he's a fantastic quarterback, and but you know, he's a father as well first and foremost. So that's good for his kids to celebrate that. My real MVP of the whole week's been Gronk. He's just been doing the media circuit, and I think he's been hilarious, chugging beers. He was, like, half hanging out of a bus during the parade. I don't know if you saw that. He was being held by, like, jeans.
Yeah.
I thought he's had a great week. And he's kept it pretty classy. A few of the Seahawks Patriots players have been taking a little low blows.
You know what? Seattle players deserve everything they get.
Nah, no, I don't think that. I think some of it...
How? This is the reason I went off. Julian Edelman. Last year...
Yeah,
I was completely behind the Seahawks, right? I thought, you know, their trash talking was starting to get to a limit, but this year it's been ridiculous.
They didn't have posters in the parade of, like, Peyton Manning, like, on a stake or anything like that. No,
they were, you know, they called everyone out all the time.
Yeah, but that's because people doubted them, you know, and they did it.
I still feel the whole Marshawn Lynch thing not talking is just stupid. He's just.
I'm here, so I won't get fined.
Yeah, see.
I don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a.
I love his. I don't give a attitude. I love it.
I think you know. All right.
He doesn't give a shit about anything.
See, but that's just. All right. All the charity work he does, right?
He does so much stuff.
Yeah, all the charity work, right? Yeah. But then it's so counterproductive when he comes out and shows all the young kids this is how you treat authority.
Yeah, I understand that. That makes sense.
See, it's just so stupid. So yeah. You have this time, and instead of, you know...
But he's done interviews. Like, he did an interview for someone, and it was on television. I can't remember who it was, but, like, he just doesn't like... He just gets asked stupid questions, and he just doesn't want to answer them. Like, he's done media stuff. Like, did you watch him on Conan? That was hilarious.
See, but that's, like, a different media. That's kind of just, like... Having fun. Media is, like, Conan's a comedian. Yeah. So he, you know, that's his job, to make the crowd laugh. That section
was so funny.
I don't know. Have you seen him? He could come out, but Lynch could come out and say, you know, look at the stuff he's doing for charity instead of...
I guess you're right. You could sort of, instead of answering stupid football, he could say, I'm only... questions about these topics or something like that.
The work that I'm doing.
That's fair. I really like Lynch.
I actually don't care that he's like not talking, but the way, you know.
Yeah.
Cause now
but he's been punished for it.
Yeah, but he's using it to like, you know, now he's using it for like a whole marketing himself kind of thing, yeah. Which I just think.
But I don't think it gets through to kids as that much because. When you think about, like, how many players are in the Super Bowl, he's one player that didn't answer questions, where 95% of all those players answer questions, and they're really open to media and fans and all that sort of stuff. And Lynch signs autographs for kids and whatnot and all that. And then when you compare it to, like, NRL down here, the media down here is terrible.
Oh, no.
On sports here. And it's the access to media and change rooms and stuff is terrible.
Yeah.
It's worse here.
Well, all right, think about how he treats the media, right? Before he was... You know, just Before he was about, before he became this, you know, I'm not talking about anything. I'm just here, so I won't get fined, kind of guy.
I'm here, so I won't get fined.
He was rude. You know, he was rude to the media. He'd just be like, you know, whatever. Don't give a crap, right? Don't give a right.
Yeah,
that's what Darius Boyd's like.
Yeah.
So why isn't Darius Boyd everyone's favourite player? Why don't you love him? I know you hate him. I hate Darius Boyd. So why?
I don't know. It's different. I guess because I don't know.
Did I stutter?
See, now
it's just the personality, I guess, and it's just the way his attitude is. But I've seen Lynch talk to me. I've seen what he's really about.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And even you just said that he was the number one running back.
Yeah.
Right. He's the number one running back in the NFL. That is enough in itself that you know people go, oh, I want to be like the best running back. Yeah. So if he's the best running back, people want to look up to him.
Yeah. But you know it's not Ray Rice or Adrian Peterson. You know, like it's not the worst thing in the world. It is frustrating, and I can understand how it annoys people and rubs people the wrong way. Shembri, who's by the way, it's his birthday today. Happy birthday.
I was going to shout out.
He hates it. He thinks Seattle, like, he's extreme with it. He thinks Seattle should lose draft picks for it, which is nonsense. But he really hates it, and he thinks it's sending... And he's got kids, and he thinks it's sending the wrong message out to them. So I understand that. By the way, I met Shembri on Super Bowl.
How'd that go?
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Nice.
He's coming on. He's getting married this weekend, and he's in Fiji for his honeymoon. So he'll be back on...
Birthday... Honey,
man, everything's coming up Shembri.
So,
except for Flacco losing.
Yeah, no, it was...
Blowing two 14-point leads. But, look, I don't even know where we were talking about before Lynch.
I honestly have no problem with him saying, all right, you know what, any question you ask, this is what I'm going to say. Then when it comes to reporters going, oh, so what do you think about this? It's like, he's not going to answer it.
Nah.
Give up. That's when you walk away kind of thing.
That's right. I still think LeGarrette Blount holding up a bitch mode t-shirt is worse than what Lynch did. I think that's sending out the wrong message.
That's not right, but then it's like...
Yeah. Plus, he had 40 yards in the Super Bowl. It was basically a non-factor, LeGarrette Blount, by the way. He only plays good against...
You know what, though? If you were Seattle, I bet you thought he was going to run it at you.
Yeah, but you did. I bet they game planned for him.
Yeah.
And with the loss of Brandon Meebane, I thought LeGarrette Blount was going to have more of a bigger game, but... Look, he Mate. You know, I think that's... Celebrate your win. And I don't think Bill Belichick would really appreciate that. But no. I think he... That would sort of get under his skin and irritate him.
The whole, you know what, though? The whole Edelman with the Sherman sign thing? The whole thing, Sherman saying, you know, 24, you know, when he was using his...
Oh, he was saying something. It was in the first quarter when he held up the four fingers.
No, it was he was saying 24. It was both the points. It was at the time. It was 24. 4 points. Yeah. And Revis had just gotten beaten by Baldwin.
Yes. Because
however, that was the whole official thing in the middle of the field.
But Sherman played a really good game. He only gave up like 6 yards or something. It was ridiculous. They did not throw it to him at all. Look, you can badmouth Sherman all you want, Edelman, but he'll beat you. He's got you beat. But Edelman had a fantastic game.
Who actually caught the pass?
I don't know. It was early on. Sherman likes giving up a pass or two early on to try and bait the quarterback to throw it at him a little bit more.
Yep.
Then he sort of jumps on the route. But Sherman's son was born on the 5th of February, which in America is 2-5, which is his number.
That's funny.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much the Super Bowl wrap-up. It was more about Marshawn Lynch and media fights and things like that. But that's our takeaways from the game. And let's get on to some...
You gotta get out of here. This is crazy. You're so weird.
No. You're really weird.
You're so weird.
We're going to lighten the mood a little bit with our two weird web stories this week. The first one is Colts cornerback gets mistaken for Patriots Malcolm Butler, and he goes along with it. So this is written by Armin Walia on Bleach Report. So Malcolm Butler is the hero, we know that. According to multiple Twitter users, he's not. After Malcolm sealed the deal for the New England Patriots, Twitter users jumped the gun a little bit and congratulated the wrong Butler. Indianapolis Colts cornerback Darius Butler started receiving tons of congratulations on social media for his thrilling interception. But instead of correcting them, he just went along with it. So, by the way, Butler played for the Patriots before he came to the Colts. So, at Yen Makia 00 said, "Nice catch at Darius Butler," and he just says, "Thanks." And then another guy says, "Pro sports chick, by the way." So she's a pro. "You, sir, you are amazing. So blessed to have you on our team, Pats Nation. Hashtag Pats Nation." And then he said, "I'm just here so I don't get fined."
I'm here so I won't get fined.
And then this other guy, baby doll underscore, oh, it's probably a chick, baby. Oh, God, I hope a guy's Twitter handle is not baby doll 90 underscore Rena. "Best play ever, Darius Butler at Patriots. Time to celebrate." And then he said, "I have been for 4 hours now." And a couple more. At Nathan Validia, "Congratulations, Patriots. What kind of interception, Darius Butler?" And then it was like an emoji with like love hearts.
Yeah.
And then he says, "I did it with my eyes closed. Hashtag easy button." And then the last one, at Allbar Beeman, I don't know, says, "Hey man, isn't it good to see that Lombardi trophy making its way towards you?" And he said, "Nah, we should let Indy have it." So good on Darius Butler for trolling some... Would we say bandwagon fans, I guess, because they're not really sure of who's on their team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but you know what? Like, real Patriots supporters. When I search some people, I just type in, you know, they probably went at Butler.
Yeah,
and comes and then up Darius, it comes at the like, little blue tick. Little tick, and they're like, oh, that's him.
Yeah.
Oh, it probably says professional football player as well.
Yeah, so, and to be fair, he is a cornerback. It is the same position, but credit to him for going along with it.
That's funny.
And I'm sure he's happy for his former teammates, who, by the way, I'm really happy for Vince Wilfork, who's been a Patriots player for a very, very long time, to win another ring. And he actually played pretty good in the first half.
So. Some of those run stops he did.
Yeah,
single-handedly, man.
Short yards, yeah, he made good plays.
I was going to say, we were like, this is probably his last year, Yeah. You know, through the season we were saying that, and now he's like, hell no, this is not my last year.
Yeah, but he might not be a Patriot next year because they owe him $8 million and they're in some cap trouble.
You know what, I reckon he'd take a pay cut.
Yeah, he probably could. He loves living out there.
He's
the type of guy that if we our first player on the show, I'd love for it to be Vince Wilfork.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, tweet Vince Wilfork.
No, let's get Lynch on, and we'll be like, hey, man. And he'd be like, I'm just here.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Actually, did you see Tiger Woods say that?
Did he?
Tiger Woods.
I saw Tiger Woods have an 82.
Tiger Woods hit his worst round ever. I 82. Feel
good. I wanted to go play golf.
Oh, when your worst round ever is 82, though.
It's like my best round ever. So I have a Tiger Woods.
Oh, no, I just shot a tiger. Shot a tiger. Great. Yeah.
Arrest that man.
No, his first line was, "I'm here." So
don't get fine. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
That is funny.
I like that he's taking a light-hearted approach to how bad he's playing golf, though.
Yeah. Or how bad his career is going as well. Like, he's just not.
That's good.
Meanwhile, Adam Scott. Yeah, baby.
Moving on.
Our last weird web story, and back by popular demand, our best sort of 10 minutes in podcast of the year was reading Amazon reviews of Gronking to Remember.
Mm-hmm.
Many loved it. And Gronk, he read it out on Super Bowl Media Day, just one line, but he appeared on Jimmy Kimmel, and we're going to play the clip right now, and then we're going to just talk about it a little bit.
I mean, yes, I haven't read a book since ninth grade when they made me, like, you don't raise your hand, but they call on you, a mocking to remember or whatever, mockingbird to remember.
Right.
Yeah. To kill a mockingbird.
That was the best part.
University of Arizona, folks, by the way.
I'm not surprised. He hasn't read books since
you know. Not party school in the nation. At least we're number one at something.
All right. What
I went to ASU, by the way, is the reason I bring that up. Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah.
That's okay. You got hot chicks, sir.
All right, here we go. This should be beautiful.
I imagine myself in football equipment. It's late at night in the locker room. Everyone's gone, just chilling on a Body Armor sports drink. The lights are low, but there I am, looking sweet in my gear. A pretty pink uniform, but pantless, my bare ass on the cold wooden bench. I am lost in thought. Man, I bet you he has the biggest piece I ever seen. Actually, it doesn't even say that. I just moved on. On the other side of the locker room, someone is taking a shower. I walk towards the noise. At the end of the row of lockers, I turn a corner, and there he is. It's a giant of a man, a warrior. His muscles ripple in soft light and splash of water coming from the shower head.
Ooh.
Dang, that's sexy. His buttocks are sublime. Gronk has a six-pack you could wash laundry on. I lick my lips.
Alright, that was Gronkowski reading Gronking to Remember on, and adding his own sort of director's cut, I guess, on the, well, not the director's, but, you know, his own little touch in there. Thoughts on that?
It just got a little steamy in here.
Yeah, I'm going to have to wipe off the, got some overhead,
Is that military. Air Asia?
Yeah.
Too soon.
Too soon. Jeez. This is a stutter. Oh, I don't know where to go after that. But we tweeted during the week, and we wanted people to tweet in other ideas, because I think NFL Neurotica is about to take off. And we want some players that maybe between us, we could start writing a mini-series or some sort of short storybook with some NFL players in sort of erotica novels. Are you on board with this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've just made one in my head, by the way.
Okay, go.
I don't want it to be...
No. Yeah, it probably won't be, so let's go.
Maybe, you know, you could definitely do something with Vince Wilfork.
I've got that on there.
You got that? Yeah. See, I told you.
I said, it's Vince Wilfork me.
Or Vince Wilfork you.
Yeah. Yes. That's a good one. Here's some that we got. A lot of people tweeted in. Give me Woodhead.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Beauty and the Beast mode. Latroy Gwyn Guy action. The Shermanator. 50 Shades of Jonas Grey. Romosexual, that's for all fans. The Edelman in me.
That's nice.
Amen in dollar. LaFell in love. A lot of Patriots players have great erotic names. It's crazy. The Warlords moved me.
Yep.
Vince Wilfork me. Rogers that.
See, that's not even sexual, but you can just...
You can just use it.
In your head, you're like, yeah, oh, that's dirty.
That's dirty. Ha ha, Clinton Dix, the Monica Lewinsky story.
That is definitely the best one so far.
Stay golden, Tony boy.
Houston, we don't have a problem. The Justin Houston love story.
Mm-hmm.
And some Cameron Wake action. Wake up, Cameron.
Wake up, Cameron.
That's a morning erotic novel.
I'm trying to think of one more. Can you think of one more? One more.
You could do one with Andrew Luck, something getting lucky, but like that's up all night to get lucky. That's pretty easy.
See, that could work there.
Well, you know, my night in Hilton.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, T.Y. Hilton, the Hilton hotel chains.
It'll just be like, thank you, Hilton.
Thank you, Hilton.
T.Y. Okay, maybe I should start doing this for a living.
There's plenty. There is plenty of names. You know, you got a Philly guy? Well, you need a Philly. You need a...
You could definitely do a corn on the cob one. Randall Cobb.
Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
It's plenty. Oh, I want more people to tweet us. And the best one, we'll get, look, Aussie Audible at Dom. Dominic, he's a follower of ours. And he really wanted to write a book review on Grinding to Remember a mm-hmm. while back. I think he can write a novel
on one of these. Should we support this?
We should fund the writing of a erotic novel by Dominic. Because I know he's into it. I know, yeah. He really wanted to do a book review. Too much wanted to do a book review of Grinding to Remember. So, we'll come up with the best one. Tweet us your, NFL erotica novels. Hashtag NFL erotica.
You know what? I reckon everyone should just start writing a paragraph.
Just write a paragraph. Yeah,
send in...
Email, wootandwhite@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And we'll form a story and we'll read it out. The whole thing.
We'll read it out.
It's the off season. We're light on content.
We might use
a lot.
Yeah, we might use that a bit, but
it's gonna be pretty juicy. It's gonna be pretty juicy.
It's showtime.
It is showtime, Arnie. You're the champion. But that's the show. We finished on a light note, some Gronking to Remember and some NFL erotica. What's ahead for us in the off season? The season's finished. What a season it was. What a good year.
Mm-hmm.
I thank everyone for listening for this NFL season. It's been great. It's been fantastic. Plenty of stories, plenty of action, plenty of excitement throughout the year. The only thing is now we've got to wait a while. But
March Madness?
Yes, March Madness is coming up. March Madness is coming up. I've got to start drawing up that bracket.
Combine's just around the corner.
It's like 15 days away or something.
Yep.
And then we've got free agency, so we'll do a big free agency.
And what a shock, Winston and Mariota were invited to the combine.
They are?
Yeah.
Oh, what breaking news here.
Breaking news.
So we've got March Madness coming up. We're going to do plenty on the free agency. Next week's show, we're going to look at franchise tags. We've got some drafts, especially we're going to get some guests on the show for some drafts.
When's free agency start?
After the combine. I know that for sure. It's in, hold on, I posted it on the... page. I don't know the exact date. Just,
filibuster.
Filibuster. Do you know what that word means?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that mean?
All right. This was, on Tuesday, so a week ago. Combine's in 15 days, so that'd be like 11 now.
Yep.
So 30 days till free agency. So we'll have a month to preview that and look at the franchise tags and who we think will go where or who we'd like to see go where. Then we'll have the draft. We're going to have a mock draft competition and a free agency competition. So what we're going to do, we'll wait until sort of the lead up into free agency so that players that are re-signed with their teams and things like that are dealt with.
Yeah.
But I think we'll list the top...
We should say... We'll list the top 5 to 10 of each position, depending on how deep it is.
I think we'll just do a top 25. In the free agency.
All right.
And we'll send out a form to our mailing list. So please tweet us your emails, and we're going to start a mailing list with some regular updates in our competitions and fantasy leagues and tournaments that are going to be running this year. And you'll get the first look at that. So that way you get guaranteed a spot.
Yep.
And we'll email the sheet out. You just fill it out, attach it back to the email, or... let us know in the email, we can fill it out for you.
Yeah.
And whoever gets the most right wins. We're working out at the moment a affiliation with a supplier of NFL gear, so we'll have some t-shirts and hats and things like that, reprisal prizes for that. Same with March Madness.
Yeah.
And we'll do one for the mock drafts as well. We need to work out the rules because drafts hard because you might get the player right.
Like, see, I like, if we went on the rules last year, that we did with you, me, you, Scott and myself, I won, but I didn't make any trades. Where you and Scott made a difference in the trades.
So what we might do is, we'll try and work it out, but whoever gets the most players, I think, because it's predicting players as well.
Players' position?
Because, like, it's one thing to predict this player will go in the first round, but whether he goes at 28 or 29, sometimes there's sneak players coming and you don't expect it.
Yeah.
So it's we'll work something out. It'll be fun.
You knew Sammy Watkins was going first round last year.
Yeah. It's just like, but now you need to know if you get it in the right spot, that's worth 5 points, things like that. We'll definitely divvy that out and have that set up. So plenty of time, but spread the word. Like us on Facebook. Share our flyer. We've got a flyer made. Can you share that around?
Once we release it, should we get bonus points for how early you do it? Because I reckon it's way harder to do it earlier before information comes out.
With the mock draft?
Yeah, especially like same with the combine. Before the combine happens, if you have a good feeling about this guy that you've been watching, and then he comes to the combine, tears it up, and you've already said he's in the first round.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Like that. All right. I don't think Amari Cooper will be the first wide receiver.
Yeah, there's whispers that White.
White's good.
Yeah.
White's good. There's a couple of them.
Yeah, Jalen Strong, another good guy. Yeah, definitely interesting. We were talking about that last night. I was talking to one of the guys in our draft. He thinks he said something about Amari Cooper to the Falcons, and I was like, no way.
Actually, no way. Oh, my God.
That would be crazy.
That'd be cool, but no.
It still doesn't help them leaking 45 points a game.
So they just hired a defensive coordinator genius to draft a wide receiver?
Yes.
Maybe. Crazy things have happened.
It is crazy. So that's the show for today. Welcome home.
Thanks.
And keep an eye out for all our updates, and we'll have the details for that.
Yeah, posted. Just tweet me. I'll probably be watching Lord of the Rings or something.
Yeah, at Josh Woot. I'm at JYNFL. You can also find us on Over the Line Sports, OTLS. Like them on Facebook. They've got a lot of content streaming out for the NRL season and fantasy if you want to play that. That's not for us. And also Top Better. Please, if you still, that Woot and Y promo is still going. So if you log in and the promo Woot and Y in caps, all caps, free $10 bet.
Cool.
So join up and ciao.